With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Rich Eisen.
He is one of the all-time.
Rich Eisen.
Absolute.
Rich Eisen.
Friggin' greats.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't see no competition.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Thinking I have something to prove. Fuse me.
You on the wrong side if you try and win.
Earlier on the show, co-host of Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver, Chase Claypool. Los Angeles Dodgers third baseman, Justin Turner. Coming up from TNT's All Elite Wrestling, Cody Rhodes. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Cody Rhodes is going to be joining us here on this program. Mike Del Tufo and Chris Brockman are at their posts over there. Good to see you, gents.
Hey, what it do, what it do.
We just chatted with Justin Turner, who said that the back spasms that have scratched his teammate tonight, He made it seem like it's entirely possible we see him in the next couple of days. That he's not too concerned about it, but it's not one of those things that he woke up with this morning. Or because when we asked him about his teammate Tony Gonsolin, who's starting tonight in his in Kershaw's place on last minute notice, he said that he's been kind of on notice that this is not as last minute as anybody really thinks right now. Wasn't a surprise to him, and said that the guy's suited for this because he's a former everyday positional player, and so he's used to, you know, being in the lineup, being out of the lineup. And also he said he's a cat guy. I said, I'll buy
it. Like, what does that mean? Out there,
what does that mean? But it just said he just beats to a different drum, I guess, that he loves Catter Day. He wears cat stuff on Saturdays because he likes Catter Day. And that his handshake with Tony is to each of them lick the back of their hands, which hopefully they just do 6 feet apart now. That's why you listen to the Rich Eisen Show. That's why you watch the Rich Eisen Show. You also don't know what's coming up because, you know, I didn't think our poll question today would be involving the biggest scandal in sports, right?
Most bizarre.
Bizarre scandal in sports. And this is because this is the way we're celebrating Nancy Kerrigan's birthday, right?
Yes. Some people have parties, balloons, cupcakes, whatnot. No, we're honoring Nancy Kerrigan with a poll question.
Right. And so it's either Nancy Kerrigan and Lance Armstrong's insanity or the trash can cheating by the Astros. And Rosie Ruiz, may she rest in peace, won the Boston Marathon. What year was that, Chris? 19-something?
Yeah.
She hopped. Our next guest will know this off the top of his head anyway. she hopped on the T. She hopped on the Boston public transportation.
1980.
There you go. Nancy Kerrigan's winning this?
Oh, yes. 59%.
Now, so a friend of the program chimed in on the poll question on Twitter?
Yeah, so I'm just, you know, I got the Twitter mentions open for the show account. And I see, oh, blue check mark. Oh, that's nice. We got a reply. Okay. And it's Jeremy Schapp. And he just says, sorry, Boris Onishenko wins. And so I went, huh?
Did you Google it?
I did.
Hold on a minute. Did you cut and paste the name?
I did.
Google it? Of course
I did.
You did. Hold on a minute. Let him just.
Because I didn't think I was going to fill it out, probably, like just typing it off the top of my
head. Let our next guest handle.
You got it.
Who Boris is. What's up, Jeremy Schapp? How are you, sir? What's going on?
Richard, good to hear your voice. Very good to hear your voice. And you know, I savor any opportunity.
Yes.
And they don't come along very often.
Yes.
To talk about modern pentathlon, which is my favorite sport. And it makes me kind of unique in American media anyway. It might be a little different in Hungarian media, Serbian media, but modern pentathlon is my favorite sport. And Boris Onishenko in 1976 in Montreal, he disgraced not only himself, but really the entire sport of modern pentathlon. And if your listeners are unfamiliar with modern pentathlon, it is the Olympic event, although, of course, it's not only contested at the Olympics, which tries as best as possible to approximate the skills required of a Napoleonic courier. So it's fencing, shooting, running, swimming, and riding. Perhaps the most famous Olympic modern pentathlete was George Patton, General George Patton. He was not yet a general, who I believe finished out of the medals, but I think in the top 10 in 1912 in Stockholm.
Is that because he slapped the competition? Speaking of Nancy Kerrigan?
Wow. No, actually, it's ironic because Patton was actually undone by his performance in the shooting competition. That's true. But anyway, Boris Onishenko was a modern pentathlete competing for the Soviet Union.
Yes.
I believe he is Ukrainian. I think he might still be alive, actually. He wouldn't be that old. And he'd won a medal in 72 in Munich. I think he was the silver medalist in 72 in Munich. But in 76 in Montreal, he rigged his épée to register false touches in the fencing competition.
How do you do that?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer. He was caught, and he was disgraced.
Disgraced.
And he was shipped back home unceremoniously.
Yes.
And after that, really lived in ignominy in the final stages of the Soviet Union.
So, Jeremy, a couple things from this. Number one, I'm a big modern pentathlon fantasy player, so I know all about this. I grabbed Boris in my snake draft earlier this year, not knowing, unfortunately, the lush history of his ignominy, to use your big word that you just dropped in there.
Thank you.
I don't even know what else to say other than the fact that Chris Brockman has fact checked you in real time. This is all spot on, correct?
Yeah.
This
is all spot on. So George Patton finished fifth in 1912.
I thought it was eighth. I just said out of the medal, so I wasn't technically
right. You said out of the
medal. You were technically right. Boris Onishenko is still with us, 83 years young.
Wow. I'd love to do a story about him. I think he's in Kiev, isn't he?
Correct.
How would that, Jeremy, tell me how that pitch meeting goes for Outside the Lines. How does that pitch meeting for E60? How does it go?
That would be, more mainstream than most of the ideas I try to get greenlit.
Jeremy,
that's a little sexy, that one.
You could put you could put that on ESPN minus.
Actually, I don't know how much time we have. I know you're
good. Please, Jeremy. This is delightful.
I actually want to retract Onishenko. Fond as I am of the story, there's something much more bizarre. Easily the most bizarre story I ever covered, and I covered to some extent the Kerrigan-Harding thing because I was working for CBS at those Olympics in Lillehammer, which was insane.
Yes.
But I don't know if you remember, this really is number one,
okay.
And I can't do it justice here, but many of your listeners will remember this. There was an NHL forward, Mike Danton. He was playing for the St. Louis Blues at the time. He previously played for the New Jersey Devils. And he went to prison after pleading guilty to murder conspiracy charges. And in layman's terms, he tried to hire a hitman to kill his agent, David Frost, who had also been his youth hockey coach. Now, in Canada, it wasn't quite the O.J. Simpson story, but it was a much bigger deal than it was here.
Sure.
But this was a story that I covered at the time it happened, like the week it occurred. And then for years, I wanted to do a bigger story about it. And eventually, Mike, who at that time was freed from prison, we pursued him in prison. But after he was freed, I went up to see him in Nova Scotia, where he was going to college. And he agreed to do an interview. And David Frost, who had been the target, was living in Southern California. And he agreed to do an interview, and it led to probably the strangest story I've ever worked on. There's so many layers. I can't do it justice here. But that's the one that should be a movie.
So,
Mike Ganton. Remember Mike Ganton, right?
Sure, I do remember that. Okashenko Retraction was a great, what was that, a great Alan Pakula movie of the 1970s. That was real. I think it starred...
right after what?
Yeah, Warren Beatty or something like that.
Yeah.
So, before I let you go, Jeremy, I was going to ask you to recite The Royals in Succession, but I don't want to do that to you, even though... I'm more than happy to have you do it. But I was thinking of actually calling you.
More than happy to do it.
I was thinking of actually calling you a couple of weeks ago, and I'll have you right now. The passing of George Thomas Seaver, sir. What a beautiful photograph you put of your dad interviewing, what, him and Muhammad Ali, or him and Namath together, or something
him
like
and
that.
Yeah, it's right. Namath on, so, I think, the first edition of the Joe Namath Show in 69.
So go for it on the Seaver front. Your memory of him, the first time you met him, or your dad's relationship with him.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, so I was born August 23rd, 1969. Obviously, they won the World Series about 7 weeks later. And Seaver was the biggest sports star maybe in the country at that time after the incredible season that he'd had. And then that offseason, he and my father wrote a book together. And they'd already known each other, you know, I think for a couple of years. You know, he was a rookie in 67. And they wrote a book together, which was, you know, which was Seaver's memoir at the age of 25, The Perfect Game. And it centered around Game 4 of the World Series. But I grew up, you know, my dad was very close to Seaver. We lived in the same community in Connecticut for a few years. I mean, some of those memories, like, could you really have a memory because you're so young, but you're told it so often that it feels
nice.
Real? But
yeah.
When I was like two or three, my dad came home with a couple of cats from a litter, Himalayan cats, and we kept one, and my father named ours Gandhi, after Gandhi.
Yes.
You know, Himalayan, vaguely Indian.
Of course.
Well, not vaguely, but, you know. And Tom took the other cat, the Seavers took the other cat, and they named theirs Ferguson because he had just lost the Cy Young Award in 1972 to Ferguson Jenkins. And so, you know, I didn't see much of Tom after that growing up. So, you know, I once in a while, but, you know, I always felt this connection because our cats were brothers. And I think it's one of those, I kind of have some memory of him missing a spring training start because the cat got loose in Florida and he spent days looking for it. But, you know, when my dad died 20 years ago, you know, these are the things that stick with you, Rich.
20 years.
And you've experienced this recently, you know, the things people tell you when your dad dies.
Right.
And, you know, Tom wrote me this beautiful letter and it just meant so much to me, a handwritten note. And, you know, me and you were born the same time in New York in that era. You know, you couldn't be a bigger star than Tom Seaver. And so many of my childhood memories and my sports fandom is just wrapped up in who he was and what he represented, the greatness and the professionalism. And I remember when I heard the news a few, like 5 years ago, that he was seriously sick.
Right.
You know, it was just crushing.
Jeremy, love you, man. How's life? Everything good? Everybody good? Jocelyn good? Kids good? Everybody good?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, so, but we can all say that now.
I know that. Well, look, it's always interesting when you chime in on our poll question about Boris Ogachenko or whatever.
Onishenko.
Oh, my bad.
Onishenko.
Sorry. I'm sorry. And I
can tell you another modern pentathlon story. You know, my father's getting in trouble with the USOC. This is true. This is in the early 90s. He was friendly with the best U.S. modern pentathlete, Rob Stahl. I don't know where Rob is now.
Okay.
But they had no money. The USOC back then and its federation, some of them were so poorly funded, they couldn't send our team to the World Championships, which I believe were taking place in Budapest in Hungary, but maybe it was Novi Sad in Yugoslavia. Anyway, so through some of my father's connections, they ended up getting sponsored by a topless bar in Lawrence, Kansas. This is a true story, the U.S. modern pentathlon team. And USOC was not amused. That's pretty much the whole story.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Schnapp, everybody. You're the best, Jeremy. You take care of yourself, buddy.
Thank you, Richard.
Much love. That's it. That's Jeremy Schnapp. I love that man.
Rob Stoll last year was inducted into the Fencing Hall of Fame.
There's nobody like him. Many, many facts I could tell you about Jeremy Shapp. Here's two of them. One, he's the guy who stuck around at the after party of our wedding, Susie and I, on wedding night for so long, it was literally like, can you please leave so I can spend time with my wife on our night of the wedding?
He just wanted to hang.
Can you go home, Jeremy? All right?
No offense.
That's number one.
No offense.
That's true. These are facts. And then number two, I cannot believe it's been 20 years since his dad passed. Because that memorial sticks with me today. The Dick Shapp Memorial, Susan and I went. It was at the Cathedral Church of St. John the Divine in Manhattan. One of the most beautiful houses of worship you can ever be in. And the luminaries that showed and talked about him from every walk of life was amazing. Martina Navratilova spoke, and Patti LuPone, the Broadway star of Evita and more, sang because they were friends. I mean, honestly, sports, music, and the MC was Billy Crystal. And he told the story of how he met Dick Shapp when Dick was doing the roast of Muhammad Ali locally in New York, and they hired him because he did a great Muhammad Ali impersonation. I'm almost sure that was the story, but that's definitely when they first met, and they became lifelong friends. And I thought to myself, 20 years ago, so I was 31 years old, I thought to myself, Dick Shapp is being memorialized by somebody who he met at the age of 40. And I thought, I'm 31 years old. I think I've met everybody in my life that means the most to me. And I thought to myself, life is truly a journey that you never know who you're going to meet. You never know how your life can be changed or affected or how you could do the same for somebody else. I swear to you, I learned that on that day. Or it dawned upon me to just keep an open mind, meet people, live life to your fullest, because you never know who you're going to meet and what they mean to you or what sort of door in your mind can be opened up about knowledge or life. Music, life. Honestly, it affected me so greatly. And to this day, I cannot believe it's been 20 years. And how about Shaq, just knowing this stuff off the top of his, I mean, he is truly a treasure.
George Patton, that was 1912, years ago.
Knew this. He finished out of the medals. Oh, my God.
Crazy.
I honestly, I could go like that nonstop for literally 3 hours.
I also would love to know, because, you know, he mentioned a harebrained scheme for an E60 piece about Boris, and he said, oh, I wouldn't even top the list of the crazy things I've offered and pitched. I would love to know that
list. I would love to sit on it. It's a show. His pitch meetings are probably a show in itself.
Yeah.
But again, it'll be on the app ESPN-.
I don't know who's watching 80-year-old pentathlete.
Boris grew up in Kiev.
Hey, it's going to be great. Honestly, he's going to own the Kiev demographic. I mean, highest rated market, Kiev.
Young Boris worked at the
local
stand. By the
way, thought it's did he say Epe? Is that what he's, you know, for?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Epe.
Wouldn't have known that.
I mean.
And of course I hear that. I'm like, Epe Le Pew is a great character from Looney Tunes. What an idiot. Honestly, smartest guy in the room every place he goes. And just a delightful human who would not leave on my wedding night.
Jewish goodbyes, Rich.
I mean,
it was time for goodbye. All right. And we take a break now and get Cody Rhodes joining us, the executive vice president and champion from AEW. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks, now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room, collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. I'm just looking on Twitter right now. Jimmy Traina of Sports Illustrated just retweeted a video that it was on this date in 1990 that Randy Savage took on Dusty Rhodes for a second time.
Oh, yeah?
How about that?
Young Dustin Rhodes is in the crowd, and he is the victim of an attack at the hands of Ted DiBiase and Virgil.
Everyone's got a price.
The million-dollar man.
Well, the million-dollar man.
Ted DiBiase.
That right? was the belt that I kind of wanted.
Is that the older brother
the
of Cody? Or
older half-brother, yeah. Okay. Dustin? Yeah.
Yeah. That's you know, on 10-13-1990. Yeah.
I believe yesterday was the American Dream Dusty Rhodes' 75th birthday.
Is that
rest,
right?
Rest in peace. Yeah, I believe it was yesterday or this weekend.
All right. Yeah. You ready to ask Cody a question? I mean, you're our resident expert on the subject.
Well, you know, I just follow your lead. And if I see somewhere I can jump in there, I will.
You asked David Wright a question that went that made news.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Well, you asked him if he had any interest in being part of the Mets organization.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not say no.
He did not.
He did not
said,
say
I'm
no.
putting him on the spot.
So can you ask a question of Cody that's going to make news?
But yeah, I can try.
I'm not asking you to try. I'm asking you to do it.
Then you got it.
Okay.
You know, holler if you hear me.
Is this one of those questions where we agree on things, but it sounds like we're arguing?
Yeah. You guys definitely agree.
Hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
We're back here on Mightier 1090, the rest of the Rich Eisen Show radio network. Okay, we're back here on our radio audience. So are you ready to ask him a question? No, I'm just wondering, because we talked about anniversaries. Mm-hmm. So the special one-year anniversary edition of AEW Dynamite is tomorrow, Wednesday, October 14th, 8 p.m. Eastern on TNT. So that means it was a year ago when Cody and his lovely wife were here promoting the beginning of this thing?
I think they were here. They were here in September. Yeah,
wow.
September.
In advance of that,
19.
Okay. Yeah, so, would you say we were the first national show outside of? Well, we were part of, I guess, in a way, the Turner family, but that's not why we did it. You know, we believe in Cody Rhodes. Were we the first? Should we say we're the first? Again, you're our expert here.
Who's going to check that if we weren't?
Well, I mean, let's check our work right now with the man who made it all happen, the executive in charge, and also a champion, Cody Rhodes here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Cody?
Oh, I am. I'm doing great. It's real exciting to be revisiting the conversation.
Right?
Because you guys were really the first big platform that gave us that opportunity to talk about Dynamite coming TNT, and now it's been a blessed year in a wild way. So here we are for year two.
Because people said to you, "What the hell are you doing?" Right? Didn't they do that? Didn't they say that to you, Cody?
People still say, "What the hell are you doing?"
Well,
I mean, the established wrestling world is WWE was unopposed for two decades, and they've been around 40 years. So it definitely is very the challenger brand that we are. It's a limited space, and we were able to grow right out of it.
Because I hear that a lot, Cody, even to today, you know, when ESPN and I parted ways in 2003, and I was the first host, and to this day, I'm thrilled to be still part of NFL Network. I still hear, like, you know, what were you thinking back then? You know, obviously it's worked out, but what were you thinking? I hear that to this day, so I'm not surprised that people still say that. But I mean, you made the right decision, Cody.
Well, you got to bet on yourself. That's what you
Damn
did.
Straight.
Now it's your show. It's your house. So you have to bet on yourself.
No, I know that, but if I could make myself also win the championships, I would do that too.
It's not exactly how it works. I am once again. That now a two-time TNT champion.
I noticed that. I noticed that, Cody. I noticed.
It's such a pretty belt too. I wish I could show you in studio. It's such a pretty belt.
I'm sure it is. But again, what if I had told you when you did come by here over a year ago that this is the way it would be right now in October of 2020? What would you have said if I told you that on that day when you were here?
I'm I'm a competent person, but out of the fold of individuals that made this happen, I was probably the most, I guess, realistic is what I thought at the time. I would have said, I'm not shocked. I would have been very pleasantly surprised. It's not that I wasn't confident. It's just that if we look at where we truly are, last week women 18 to 34. That was the first time ever that demographic topped our male graphic at points during the show. ITV in the UK were doing extremely well there, including better than Monday Night Raw, SmackDown. I mean, we're blowing the competition away there, and we're dominating the wrestling space on Wednesday night. It was always going to be difficult, us being opposed, but to dominate in the fashion we have. And I don't mean that with any bravado. I'm just genuinely really proud of it. So I would have been pleasantly surprised.
So then why do you think it is working, Cody Rhodes? Why do you think it's worked the way it has? To what do you owe it?
Authenticity. That's really it. When I get around individuals, sometimes like the Warner Media marketing team or new people to wrestling, and they want to know what makes us different. That's the number one thing I'll say. And what I really like to extrapolate just on authenticity for a wrestler, it's these characters. Back in the 80s and 70s when wrestling fans were rabid for wrestling, you'll hear people say all the time, well, it's because they thought it was real. It was the suspension of disbelief. And I disagree, especially if you look at some of the silly stuff Ric Flair and Dusty and Hulk were doing. I actually think it was the connection made to the characters. And the only way you can reach across the barricade and actually connect in a way they want to see you win or they root for you to lose is being authentic in your interview, authentic in your ring work. And that's what I think we have that separates us from everybody.
Well, my kids are watching it a lot, Cody, and they're locked in. I mean, the authenticity certainly hits, and obviously you need to have kids. You got to have kids that are sitting there watching, and their viewing habits are, you know, like American Ninja Warrior and things of that nature. And so to watch this as well, this is exactly the type of thing you're looking for, I imagine, as well.
That's
just my kids.
How old are your kids?
12, 9, and 7, sir.
Oh, what a good, what a good just cross section. That's really great to hear. As for me on TV, I feel like sometimes I'm a little bit of the last of a dying breed. I'm a really just kind of white bread good guy. The only way to put it.
Okay.
And I like hearing that, you know, kids are watching the show because my biggest fan base skews young, and I like that. I like that being on TV still in wrestling.
Well, no, they've sought it out, and then on occasion, you know, after some of the NBA playoff games, they would run your programming as well on TNT. So you know, they're constantly it's on the screen quite a bit, you know, and so. I haven't used the dad points yet to say I know you. not yet. I haven't busted that out. I'm waiting on that, Cody.
Yeah, you got it in the pocket. It's there when you need it. If they get more into it and more into it, bam, you slam that thing down. You're just the coolest.
I'm just waiting for you to be unmasked in The Masked Singer one time, and then it'll just be a double whammy if that ever happens, you know?
Oh, man. That's almost too much. The world is not enough. That's amazing.
All right, so I give you the floor on what this anniversary episode is all about. Cody, tell me. Tell everybody.
Anniversary for AEW. It's 1 year of Dynamite, and we're doing something very special in the sense that all the titles will be on the line, all the gold. And it's so rare in wrestling. So you've got a great women's championship match with Sheeta versus Big Swole, the world championship on the line, John Moxley versus Lance Archer, myself defending the prettiest belt in the business, the TNT championship, in a total mismatch. Orange Cassidy is outsized and outgunned, but all the respect in the world for him. Plus, it's an anniversary show. This got to be filled with all the bells and whistles and all the surprises of great American wrestling.
Well, I mean, if we're on the subject of total mismatches, how's your wife doing, Cody?
he is really leaning into being the boss of the family.
Yes, I'm sure. Well, you know, every successful venture needs a brilliant Michigan mind behind it, Cody. So, you know, that's just my two cents on the subject about Brandy.
I'm really proud of, I always told people she's a Michigan grad, you know, because I'm this dumb wrestler who didn't go to college. But she's like really, she throws that out there often in meetings. I'm like a dummy. So I feel like that's what I'm saying. She's really leaning into being this boss. this kind of queen thing going on. I don't, what can I do? I'm in. I love her, right? I gotta get through.
You're a lucky man, sir, with a brilliant mind inside your family like that with your wife. It's fantastic in the business that's going on. TJ, would you like to ask a question of Cody Rhodes? You're the Rich Eisen Show wrestling expert, as sure. You know. So go for it. Go for it, TJ. You have the floor.
What's up, Cody? How you doing, bro?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, man. You know, when you were here last year, last September, you and I talked a little bit about, you know, getting AEW started up. And, you know, you spoke about authenticity. And I shared the story with you about me and my grandfather, wrestling was our thing. And watching your dad, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, would drive my grandfather crazy when Dusty would get, you know, jumped by the Four Horsemen because he couldn't understand why Dusty didn't get Magnum and Nikita and wait for Ric Flair in a parking lot or a gas station and beat him up. And even as a young man, I was like, well, Grandpa, I don't think that's how that works. But the authenticity you talked about was very real. You know, we had Stone Cold in here. I asked him this, so I'll ask you. Martians are coming to invade the Earth, Cody, and you've got to assemble a Survivor Series team of four wrestlers to protect us all. Old school guys, who would you pick to have on your Survivor Series team and to protect us all?
Very interesting. And you're going traditional, so four plus me, teams of five, strive to survive type thing.
Yes.
Right?
Well, you know, I asked Stone Cold, and he didn't put himself on. He said he'd be the coach. So you can either be on it or not. But who would you assemble?
I'm maybe breaking Steve's rules here, but it's teams of five, striving to survive. Mm-hmm. I'd have to really, such a great question. I'd go for sure with Mr. Brody Lee, the man who I just defeated for the TNT Championship, because he's got the size
and
the quickness. He's a modern super heavyweight in how he moves. In addition to that, I'd throw my brother in there, my lovely 50-year-old, somehow younger brother. I don't know how that dynamic has been created, but I'd put him in there.
Still one of the best in the world.
Still, absolutely. It's just timeless. It pisses me off. And then I get two more. This is where it gets tricky. The rubber is meeting the road here. You know what? I'd go with Miro, who just joined us at AEW after having a wonderful run at WWE. He crossed the line and came over because Miro is just all man, total stud. A lot of heavyweights here. So we got our got to be a light heavyweight. Light heavyweight, who could it be? Tricky. You know what? I'm gonna take a name out of... I'm going to say Rey Mysterio. Oh. I'm going to say Rey, and it's probably inappropriate for me to say Rey, but Rey he gave me my first big break in wrestling, and you need to balance out all those big boys with a Rey.
I love that. I love that.
How would you rate the answer? Because all I heard was supportive family and his own business venture. So you tell me how that was wrestling-wise.
He's got some monsters on his team, I'm going to tell you that. And, you know, I don't know if Rey can make that switch over, but if he can, that's a great team.
I mean, this was hypothetical, and you said these are Martians coming.
Yes, yes. Yeah, sure. No, I understand.
See, the trick when you put a super team together is, and I didn't do it with this, though, but whenever you do it in wrestling, you also have to pick someone who will have to lose, just in case you guys have to lose the match. In this case, we didn't pick anybody who's taking the fall.
So that means we got to win this then, Cody.
We got to win unless Dustin gets beat.
Well done, Cody, man.
Good
well
talking
done.
To you, man.
Hey, good chat as always. Always love having you on. Congratulations again on your venture. Now, if you need, because I saw again, you're with your competition. They reached out to McAfee. If you need a sports talk radio host / television person to suit up and go top rope or something, I can diet for a bit.
You might need to bulk up.
You know, I can be that guy if you're going in that direction.
Cody. Oh, I have no doubt that you could whip Pat's ass. So you're always my first. Always, you were the first big spotlight for us. So
I appreciate
you're
that.
You're my tag partner when you're ready for the match.
I got it. We can have a, you know, at least we the love of punting and wrestling. Cody, Thanks again for the call. Appreciate it. Congrats. Best to your family. Best to your venture. And let's keep chatting down the line.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys so much.
You got it. Thanks, that is the executive vice president and two-time champion.
Two-time.
Of AEW in advance of AEW Dynamite Anniversary Edition tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern on TNT.
And that belt is beautiful.
Indeed. So it was last two Septembers ago that he and Brandy were here.
Crazy.
Right.
Wow. September 19th.
I'm sorry. And Brandy and he were here.
Michigan first.
Well, I mean, the Michigan person gets top billing. Right. Plus, honestly, when they arrived, it was as if Cody was not here for you.
For all of us, not just me.
I might be projecting. You're right. I might be projecting. What's going on over there?
That would have been a good moment for the Tom Brady. I plead the fifth.
Yes. Oh, you're helping. You're producing the drops right there. I plead the fifth. Speaking of Michigan men, he can't find it. It's too deep. It's too buried.
I plead the fifth.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I had the music playing already for break.
That was Jim Gray. That was him with Jim Gray, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At that random luncheon, something or other.
Random, small college.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Whatever that was.
Yep. Tom Talk.
Not as popular as the TED Talk.
844-204-RICH, phone calls, and we get Chris Brockman's news update, and we'll set up the rest of the week in terms of our guests. That was a lot of fun.
That was good stuff.
All right. 844-204-RICH when we return on this Tuesday show. Hey, folks. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Welcome back to Peacock here. So I'll wait for the radio audience to return about this story that we kind of touched upon in the first hour a little bit here. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, and it does involve the New Orleans Saints. Michael Thomas, just to give a heads up to everybody. That was fun with Cody Rhodes right there. The TNT champion, my bad. I kept calling him the AEW champion.
I didn't even notice you said that.
But I've noticed quite a bit after basketball, my kids would be staying tuned to watch the wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
TNT would just put it on right after basketball. My kids would watch it.
Well, your kids are definitely at the age where I remember when I was that age, I started getting super into wrestling back then.
Right.
You know, the old WCW days. It was Saturday morning, WWF. It was, those were the days.
844-204-RICH. We'll take your phone calls in a second. Do you have a news update over there? A little bit of one?
Yeah, I got a couple items.
All right. Hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room. Collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Terrestrial Radio Network, the Mightier 1090. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. So we touched upon this earlier, and I haven't read the full article here, but let me get the exact quote as well. I know I'm dancing around the subject here, but I'm talking about Michael Thomas, the all-world wide receiver of the New Orleans Saints. And Sean Payton last night, talk about very much about Michael Thomas, except because he said, we'll talk about the players that played. Now, Michael Thomas got into a fight with Chauncey Gardner, what's his last name again? Simmons, is that his name? Got into a fight with one of his teammates and got suspended by the Saints. He didn't play on Monday Night Football.
Chauncey Gardner Johnson.
Pardon me. Chauncey Gardner Johnson. I know Chauncey Gardner because, again, that was the
Peter Sellers.
The name of the character in Being There, played by Peter Sellers, who won an Oscar for a movie that Brockman will never see because it's old.
It's no good anymore.
So Sean Payton was asked if Michael Thomas's suspension was going to be for just one game. Quote, we'll let you know when the time is right.
When?
They have a bye week coming up. So he's going to let this thing sit through the bye week as it's currently stand.
Oof.
I'm imagining Sean Payton will be talking to the media at some point in the next few days. I don't know. I don't know the cadence. Drew Brees was asked about it last night. Drew Brees said he has spoken to other team leaders. He and other team leaders have spoken with Michael Thomas. Quote, at the end of the day, Mike is a big part of this team, and he's going to be a big part of this team moving forward. He had an incident. Sean addressed it. We'll be good. Quote, I've spoken with Mike. Mike and I talk a lot. At the end of the day, a lot of end of the day, meaning the day is still on. Mike is a big part of this team, and he's going to be a big part of this team going forward. Jeff Duncan, who covers the team for The Athletic and has spent many a moon around this team, wrote an article in The Athletic, quote, Michael Thomas needs to wise up, wake up, and grow up before it's too late.
A source in that story told Jeff Duncan, what makes him great is what also makes him difficult. Michael can be his own worst enemy at times.
Wow. I've been around a lot of red ass, you know, competitors that maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Whew.
Maybe that's what it is. I mean, he's been on the show. He could not have been more, I guess, what's the word for it? Professional and
engaging.
Engaging.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Very active on social media. He interacts
with our Twitter
and Instagram about
right.
him.
I know that. You're right. Right. Yeah.
They're football players, though. You know.
No,
something
I know.
Happens,
and again, like it's competitive. You know, you see again. You go when you want to talk about competitive athletes. There's the one, if you will, gold standard in Jordan, and you know another in Kobe, where. It couldn't have been easy to be around them and be their teammate from time to time. And Jordan, as you know, for The Last Dance, was unapologetic about that sometimes. At one point, I guess he told some interviewers leading up to The Last Dance's debut, you remember this, that he was saying that he was definitely not going to come off very well in it.
Yeah.
I disagree. I thought he did. But there were times where it's just like, wow, he was harsh on this guy, harsh on that guy. Yeah. He even hit Steve Kerr, right? But this is something that's still playing out. I honestly thought, okay, it'll just be he'll miss a game and we'll be back. And you just never know what's going on inside a building. And obviously, Sean Payton again comes from the world of Bill Parcells, where players are treated differently based on their talent.
Right.
I mean, the story goes that Belichick told us at the NFL 100 all-time team show about Lawrence Taylor, where he went to Parcells, and he told this story with Lawrence Taylor sitting there on the show. So, again, just another great moment. Belichick told the story of him going to Parcells and saying, you know, started the meeting, and Lawrence Taylor was late today, coach. He's been late a lot. And Parcells' response was, why'd you start the meeting without him?
Great question.
And so...
Yeah, so Michael Thomas, in that article, accused the staffer of illegally going through his mail and the training staff of not taping up his ankles properly. Hasn't been active on Twitter in the last 3 days. Hmm. There's stuff going on down there.
There is.
Well, think about it, Chris. You get so upset. You were talking about Drew Brees not being able to throw the deep ball, and you're not even a Saint fan. You're just a football watcher.
Right.
So you can imagine if you're one of those receivers and you feel the same way you do.
There
then
you go.
You're going to be probably a little bit more heated.
And that I would imagine Michael Thomas is not silent about those thoughts.
I'd say probably not. He's a wide receiver.
Thomas's unpredictable, aloof personality. This is a quote from the story. Has alienated members of the team's public relations staff and led to social media snipes at opposing players and local reporters, frustrating the club's brain trust. As you mentioned, barked at team trainers for failing to tape his ankle properly and accused one administrative staffer of illegally going through his mail.
What are you going to do, trade Michael Thomas? Figure it out.
No, well, as you heard, Drew Brees said he's going to be a big part of this team going forward.
Couple months ago. But what are you going to do, trade DeAndre Hopkins?
Honestly, Sean Payton has been at the knee, if you will, of Bill Parcells for a very long time. You've met Sean. You've seen how he talks. You've seen how his philosophy is. He is a guy who talks brass tacks, has a lot of fun, can razz you and, you know, rib you and rolls the dice and does things unconventionally, but also has been around one of the all-time greats in Parcells, who, again, was famous for being tough, but also understanding how you have to coach certain players differently because of how valuable they are talent-wise.
LT.
And he was asked last night, we'll tell you when the time is right. And they're going on a bye week. Just something to keep an eye on. Wow.
What are the Steelers going to do? Trade Antonio Brown? Oh.
No, look, I pick up what you're putting down, and we don't know what was going on with DeAndre Hopkins in Houston. It couldn't have been so bad to the point where he had to be shipped out.
Yeah, right.
In a trade that you knew you had to. I mean, Bill O'Brien had to know if this thing didn't work out, it was over. I think he probably thought that it was going to work out, and that if it didn't work out, it certainly wouldn't work in an 0-4 start.
You knew who knew it so wouldn't work out?
Again, and again, that's the thing we need to be careful about here is we can't take somebody like Brown and use that as a cookie cutter that's what's happening with Michael Thomas and that's what happened with DeAndre Hopkins or somebody who's a malcontent. But this is an interesting article in The Athletic that just popped up on my screen and maybe everybody should seek it out because this is a top – this is exactly the player one would think is the reason why Drew Brees didn't say, I'm ready to be a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. Because I've got Michael Thomas. I'm a quarterback. What do I need? I need a bona fide game-changing playmaker, and I need a coach who I can trust, and I need an offensive line who will protect me, and I need a running game that can balance the attack. Check every one of those boxes. And if this young man is not on the field because he can't control his impulses with members of the staff, which you cannot have. You cannot have. Honestly, if we had somebody here, no matter how talented they were on the mic, if they started making your lives difficult because they were a total red ass and accusing you of stuff that this article is saying that he was accusing staff of or barking at people, you'd be out of here. You'd be out of here. I mean, name any club that you're a part of. Name any fraternity or sorority that you've been a part of. Name any spot that you are. If you're rude to people who work there and make the place go, you're out. Yeah. That's my first blush reaction to this. I mean, that this guy set. I mean, he didn't set. He obliterated Marvin Harrison's record that you could have sworn in this pass happy league was going to stand the test of time. He obliterated it. Now, you might need to, in order to obliterate that mark, have the sort of mentality where everybody is your enemy. But once the final zeros hit, the people in your shop are not your enemy. I mean,
shouldn't be.
And again, this is just me first blush reading this article during a commercial break and having Don Bowie get in my ear and tell me what's in the article along with you, Chris, reading it.
Yeah.
And me getting an email and seeing all this stuff. This is me just piecing it all together.
Yeah, we're just perusing.
But as you know, I brought it up in the first hour because that comment from Peyton last night was like, huh. So it's not like, yeah, Michael's great. We're good. We missed him tonight. We're going to come together. See you after the bye. We'll let you know when the time is right. Earl Thomas. How many times did we talk about that here too, right? Mm-hmm. About how the Cowboys could desperately use him. Peter King was basically, he gave you the public version of what information men and women will tell you privately. It's like something was up in Baltimore to the point where nobody's going to touch him.
Right.
And the players in Baltimore would have had a bigger problem if he stuck around. Wow.
Tells you all you need to know.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Do you have any? Do you have anything you want to sneak in?
Just a couple
of notes. We don't need to play the
animation.
Yeah,
it's good. Just an injury update on tonight. A.J. Brown for the Titans expected to play against the Bills.
Okay.
Updating Dalvin Cook. He is not expected to play week 6 against Atlanta. So if you can get Alexander Mattison on your waiver wire tonight, I suggest you do so. Updating the report that the Jets are shopping Le'Veon Bell from Albert Breer. Sounds like they're willing to settle for a late pick and or back-end player in return. Le'Veon Bell's due $6 million for the rest of this season.
Well, that's peanuts, clearly, but...
If you get a guy the coach never really wanted anyway,
let's game it out. Let's game it out. What team could use him? Houston? Honestly.
Maybe.
Game it out. Game out a team that could, if you will, use him. Chicago? I mean, Singletary's doing well, but they just lost. I mean, Montgomery's doing well, but they just lost Tariq Cohen for the year. Cleveland has Kareem Hunt and that kid, DeErnest Johnson. I don't know if they'll take him.
Who barely got any touches. I mean, Kareem Hunt.
The Chargers? Could the Chargers take him? I know that they used Justin Jackson looked great last night.
I don't really think they need him.
Minnesota's without Dalvin Cook, but Alexander Mattison came off the $10 bill and ran for a Franklin. Philadelphia? Philly would never take him. By the way, I got an email also during the commercial break. You want to talk about running the risk? And I don't mean public health and safety. But the Philadelphia Eagles announced they're going to welcome in a limited amount of fans this week.
7,500.
The Eagles with the Ravens coming into town at 1-3-1 saying, come on out, Eagles fans. You might not need the Fox Boo button for that one.
I was
going to
say, and do what? Like, if they fall behind 2-3 scores.
Oh, baby. Ugh. No, I mean, fans, you want to have your fans there if you can.
I mean, I get it, but.
Ravens in town. Hey, here's your 1-3-1 Eagles fans.
Would the Lions come take on Le'Veon?
Out. No. No way. Although, as you know, Le'Veon played his.
Michigan State.
But, you know, the Giants. No chance.
Devontae Freeman looks
does not
looks
seem
good
like again.
What about Washington?
I guess they could. I don't know.
But this guy Antonio Gibson is kind of just the rookie version of
McKissick
Le'Veon.
And what, you know what I mean? Like, what?
I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know what the answer is on that front.
Also, quickly, Dave Roberts just said Kershaw is not going to start tomorrow.
Okay, so it's a game four situation. And I want to thank Justin Turner and the Dodgers for making that happen. Chase Claypool, Peter Schrager, and Cody Rhodes. Good question to ask him, sir.
Thank you.
Good question.
And the Portuguese national team announced that Cristiano Ronaldo tested positive for coronavirus.
Okay.
But all his teammates came back negative.
Okay. Well, I hope he is well. So, wow. I mean, that story is quite something else. Tomorrow's show is Kyle Brandt. Once again, we'll be making his appearance on this program every single Wednesday here. You got the final poll results over there, Christopher?
Yeah, final poll results on the most bizarre sports scandal. Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding take this one, guys, 59%.
It looks like James Conner's been added to the list for tomorrow's program as we go back-to-back Steelers.
Right on. Nice.
And Dylan O'Brien from Paramount's Love and Monsters. Last time Dylan was on, we got so many heart emoji Twitters from people who normally never watch the show for months. And he's a Jet fan.
Oh, man.
We'll tell him. We'll talk. We'll talk about it. He's also a Met fan, too.
Who you got tonight, real quick? Bills, Titans.
I like the Bills. I like Josh Allen.
All right.
A lot. Thanks for taking in this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll see you on Wednesday.